This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Monday, the 19th of February. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Lara Dickinson. On tonight's show, we had Sydney as they kick off the anniversary of Sydney's Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras for 2018 as it celebrates its 40th anniversary. What the two-week festival is now to the New South Wales LGBTI communities and to Australia is something very different to what it was back in 1978, with the festival moving from protest to pride. This year's Mardi Gras theme is 40 years of evolution, and The Informer was at Mardi Gras' family-friendly community day yesterday, Fair Day, in Victoria Park, to speak to the communities about what Mardi Gras means to them. We'll also speak to some of the 78ers as we look back on how a celebration that turned into a protest marked an era of change for celebrating pride in Australia. We head to the Bear Tree to find out about New South Wales' inclusive bear community, truly creating a diverse environment for everyone. And finally, we'll find out what Joy has in store for their special Mardi Gras broadcast as we celebrate 40 years over 4 days.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
What does Mardi Gras mean to you? For some, it will always be a place of protest, but for others, it's a space for celebration. Is the parade too corporate, and have we lost our activist edge? Dean Arcuri was at the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Fair Day yesterday, and after 40 years of pride and protest, he decided to explore what Mardi Gras means in 2018 to the communities that celebrate it.
What does Mardi Gras mean to you?
Mardi Gras for me means joy, fun, acceptance, people getting along.
Mardi Gras really is a wonderful time of the year. I mean, we call it Gay Christmas because it really is something special. You do hear people saying Happy Mardi Gras, and I think that's the whole point about it all, that we all are here to celebrate and come together, and kicking off at something like Fair Day brings our whole community out and proud.
Celebration of equality and also catching up with all my friends.
Mardi Gras is when I met up with my boyfriend and we become a couple.
How long ago was that?
11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Mardi Gras means to me, wow, that's a tough question. This year it will be marching for pride. Pride and the love of gays and a little bit of attention as well. Who doesn't mind a little bit of 400,000 people staring at them while they march down the parade route in shorty shorts?
Mardi Gras means to me when everybody as a community comes together, whether you're LGBTQI+, or whether you're straight, you all come together and celebrate being fabulous, being fun.
Equality, love, respect. Kindness and fun.
What does 40 years of Mardi Gras mean to you?
Makes me feel very young. And thankful for all the people that came before me, that paved the way for us to have an easier time being gay.
Bloody long time. Not as old as me, fortunately. I think it just is testimony to the hundreds and thousands of people and volunteers that have kept the organisation going over those 40 years. You know, from something that was a protest to something that's a celebration. You know, to be doing something for 40 years means you're doing something right.
I think it's an outstanding achievement. I think of the 78ers, what they did to basically march in casual clothing to show that gay people are like everyone in the office, and now it's come to this massive celebration, and I think Mardi Gras stands for equal rights for me.
And look how far we've come today, and everything's just wonderful. We have marriage equality. We're almost equal now.
40 years, to me, would say progress. We've made it. We've come so far, and we're still here, and we're kicking, and every day means we get a little bit closer to full equality. Marriage equality in Australia just recently happened. There's more steps that need to happen, but 40 years, we can see what started and where we're at, and I think it's a great measuring stick.
I've really loved Mardi Gras, but knowing that this year particularly, there's been a build-up. There's been a build-up because of the milestone. There's been a build-up because of the share. There's been a build-up. Just even personally, just because I get to like do another one of my own floats. So it's just been really exciting to have it all come together at one time.
40 years of Mardi Gras means respect and honour towards those who actually fought 40 years ago to get the rights, to be able to get the opportunity to march up and be proud of who we are, not have to fight against police or, you know, just to be true to ourselves.
Well, I didn't actually know it had been going that long, to be honest, so I just spent some time with a 78er, one of the original people, and I learned a lot more about the history and stuff, and it made me quite emotional and proud and happy.
Do you remember your first Mardi Gras?
I do.
What was it
like? I have very distinct memories of it because it was the year that Carly first performed. And I was a very young boy wearing a white one-piece sort of unitard, which you should never wear white to Mardi Gras. It's just not, it stains terribly. We were sitting at the back of the RHI and we saw this group of performers wearing pink overalls huddling somebody towards the stage. And we thought, that looks like Kylie. And we literally snuck around to the front of the stage, got ourselves right in the middle at the front and watched the show and almost got burnt by the fire pots. So that was my first Mardi Gras.
It was watching it about probably 15 years ago and I loved it. It was fantastic.
I was very non-scene, but it was still fabulous.
My first Mardi Gras was last year, just so you know. And yeah, what I could remember, I had a good time.
My very, very first Mardi Gras was 2001. And I was asked to be in drag for a Madonna show at Taylor Square as one of the Madonnas. I got to go down in a limousine dressed as Madonna. It's like amazing. Like it was the kind of roll gold kind of experience for a Mardi Gras.
I remember my first Mardi Gras. It was marching with a joint convicts and Melbourne Chargers. I think it was back in 2014. I went to the after show party and just had the most amazing time.
I was in high school. I went with my best friend. You know, when you're at school, you have a best friend. Best friend and her mum took us. And I haven't looked back since. So thank you to her.
That was DNR Curie with some attendees at the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Fair Day.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
At 10 p.m. on the 24th of June, 1978, the first gay and lesbian Mardi Gras took place. Nothing like it is today, the first march was met with police violence that became a catalyst for change. It was actually the opposition that the march was met with when it first began, from both outsiders and from within our communities, that helped to shape it into the iconic beacon of pride we see today as one of Australia's most loved events. But as we look back at 40 years of Mardi Gras, what does moving from protest to pride actually mean? DNR Curie sat down with Ken, Diane, Michael and Robin from the 78ers and asked just that, as they reflect on that first march and how far we've come today.
We started organising this in May, in 1978, at this university, just near here, as a coalition of lesbian and gay groups. And we were responding to a lot of attacks on our rights in the United States, like a need for international solidarity. And when we had the idea of a nighttime celebration, I don't think we thought much would come of it. And that night in 1978, it was like really exhilarating to be in a public space with lesbian and gay identity and at night with freedom. But our freedom was so short-lived, you know, that as soon as the police attacked, we realised we were involved in a historic moment. And I think having the second Mardi Gras in 1979, which was against the wishes of the gay business, gay media, gay groups, that really made a tradition. But the idea that it's lasted 40 years is unimaginable for us, like back in the 70s.
I was with Ken being sheltered in a shop doorway in King's Cross, but we had a very good view of the violence that was happening when the police attacked the first Mardi Gras in King's Cross. male homosexuality was illegal. Lesbians were often harassed, and gay men and Aboriginals were harassed by police. It was a situation where we weren't always safe in those situations. Police attacked our demonstrations regularly, but the attack on the first Mardi Gras was of a different degree of ferocity, and there were 53 people arrested on that night, and dozens more arrested at the subsequent protests that were part of our massive political fight back, the Drop the Charges campaign. And nearly all the charges got dropped, so we were successful in that. Yeah. Unless the police had attacked it, there probably wouldn't have been another Mardi Gras. And we were, as Ken said, so determined to have a second Mardi Gras against opposition. There were no arrests then and things like that. And basically, we still need Mardi Gras. We still need that public space, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender presence, because basically, there's still a lot of homophobia around. I mean, a friend of mine says a butch woman she knows was spat on in Campbelltown the day the marriage equality thing was result was announced. In for young gay and lesbian people in outer suburban and country areas and regional areas, it's not necessarily safe to come out. We've got to keep going and be a beacon for those young people.
Well, I was only 16 at the time, so it was very hard. My best friend and I, we were walking up the street with all the 78ers, and I could see all the police at the top of the street, and I just knew that, you know, this wasn't going to be good. And so as people hid in the door frames and the doorways of shops, and people were getting hit and people flying everywhere, we sort of ran backwards. And because we were young, I don't think they realised that we were with that crowd, you know, because they were all sort of university students and older. But it was pretty horrific to watch. Yeah, for us, I think it's been 40 years in the making, that's for sure. And for us to have equality now and all that, it's a good. It's been a long road. And and all these people, as you can see, they have careworn faces and they've cared a lot to get to this point. And so I think this year it's a celebration of life and equality and for everybody to be equal under one. I think it's good.
Is it weird to think that here we are 40 years later?
And
we're still fighting for equality on so
very,
many
very,
levels.
On so many levels, yes. It's weird when you look around the world and you travel to other parts of the world and it's more available then, you know. So and it's more accepted. But here, it's so backwards. And, you know, even though we've got so many levels to go now before it's fully accepted, you know. And there's still a lot of homophobic things going on around the world. Some places you're going backwards, you know. It's quite sad. But for 40 years here, I think it's a big party, and I think everybody's going to be so excited. I can't wait for the parade.
There were two components of the day, the 24th of June 1978. So in the morning we had one of our ordinary old demos that we always have, which is marching along the street with placards shouting, give us our rights and stuff like that. And then in the evening we had a street parade, a party. And one of the reasons we did that was because a lot of people felt very nervous walking down the street. A lot of people at that time, 40 years ago, were very, very nervous about their sexuality becoming public, so being outed. So they were keen on having something that they could participate in, but be more anonymous. So the idea of dressing up in outfits and putting on makeup and having wigs and things like that essentially acted as a disguise, so they wouldn't be recognised. It's hard to imagine now, but 40 years ago, people could be sacked from their job on the basis of their sexuality, no other reason, because sexual orientation was explicitly excluded from the Anti-Discrimination Act. In other words, it was legal to discriminate. So it provided a way for people to get out there, have a bit of fun, be involved with other members of their community in what we thought was a safe space. Didn't turn out that way. We were brutally attacked by the police. They interrupted the parade at a certain point and tried to shut us down. pull out the driver of the only truck we had. It's not like today. We had one truck and a loudspeaker playing two songs. That was it. And they just tried to break up the whole thing. And I think for us, it was one of those moments where you have that, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore. So we basically said no and took off up to the cross, which really didn't go down too well with the police, and they ambushed us at the police at the cross, where they just started physically attacking people, so brutally bashing them. Punches, kicks, throw to the ground, dragging people along by their hair, running them into the wall, and then throwing them bodily into paddy wagons. But we fought back. We grabbed people who were being pulled by the police and dragged them out of the paddy wagon. Or we got hold of one arm while the police had the other arm and kept pulling until they were released. And we hadn't really done that before, hadn't fought back in that way, because the gay and lesbian movement in Australia was going well before 1978. And we'd had protests and demos and that sort of thing. So it wasn't our first experience of police harassment, but it was the most systematic, the most violent episode of police violence. We'd never seen anything like it. It was so extreme, so systematic, it was quite shocking. And maybe that's what galvanised people to fight back as strongly as they did. And a lot of people that otherwise would have ended up in the paddy wagon didn't, because we got them out. It wasn't a lot of fun in the end, but here we are 40 years later, and it is heaps of fun.
Well, what is it like now looking at it 40 years later and having, you know, so many people able to stand up and be who they are because of that action that you took?
Look, it's a fantastic feeling. We would never have imagined that we would still have Mardi Gras 40 years later, or that it would be the amazing festival and spectacle that it is today. And I think it's extremely important that we keep having it, because visibility is still hugely important, and diversity, sexual diversity, is still hugely important. So I'm one of the people that thinks it's so important for particularly, say, young people living in rural and regional areas that have no role models, that are bullied at school, that they've got something that they can relate to, that they can see that the role models, that there is, you know, there are choices for them. They can be who they are. That exists.
That was DNR Curie speaking to 78ers Ken, Diane, Michael and Robin.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
The Bear Tree is an iconic part of Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Fair Day, where you can get out of the sun and know that if you're feeling body conscious or don't want to take your top off, that there's an inclusive corner of Fair Day for anyone to come and be themselves. DNR Curie spoke to Ian from the Harbour City Bears about the legend of the Bear Tree and how the Sydney Bear community are working to create a more inclusive space for everybody.
What does being a bear mean to you?
Well, it means being a part of a community that doesn't discriminate and is all-inclusive for everything. So weekly gatherings that we have, and just getting together with friends and being friends and being good to each other.
A bear means warm-hearted, friendly, outgoing, community. I think we are very community-minded, and looking at the tent here, you can see there's all walks of life, all tall, short, skinny, fat, young, old. The bears, we take them all in. And in Sydney, also, we actually allow women into our bear groups, and I'm very proud of that.
Well, the bears have always been up here on the hill since Fair Day began, and we've always hung our giant bear flag on the bear tree. Now, these days we can't do that anymore, but it's still called the Bear Tree. Even Mardi Gras calls it the Bear Tree. It's on the map as the Bear Tree. But now we've got our giant flag on the fence behind, so everyone can see us. But we're in the same spot we've been for, how long have we been in Victoria Park? 10, 12 years.
So for like 10 or 12 years, the Bears have had us at the same spot.
Same spot. And Mardi Gras have said it's the Bear Tree, and we've always been here. There's no real mystic story.
So has it been really great to have this kind of a space that everyone just knows this is
the Bears? Yeah, it is, because it means that everyone meets up really early. Like, as you know, in Fair Day, if you don't know where anyone is, you can't find anyone. But as you can see, underneath the Bear Tree, we have many the bear, many the cub.
Harbour City Bears do a lot of, they have Bear Essentials going on during Mardi Gras. So it's not enough to just have Mardi Gras. Harbour City Bears have to throw more in. What's the motivation to have a specific bear festival during Mardi Gras?
Money, just so there's acceptance. Like, so our main event is Under Bear. And that's basically giving a space for a lot of bears and people who may even be not so body confident, a place where they can be free to express themselves. And these are people who may not even be comfortable at the big Mardi Gras party. So they'll come to Under Bear, but they actually won't, and strip down, but they go to Mardi Gras and they'll be modest, or maybe not even go to the main dance party because they're body conscious. So it's that. And then, of course, if we're going to throw one party, we might as well throw two or three and go to the beach and, you know, hit the saunas and do all that sort of stuff.
So one of the good things about the bear community and the bear culture is that it is something for everyone, like you were saying, for those guys that might not be as body conscious. And do you think that's something that you, why you love being a part of Harbour City Bears and helping to create that space?
Oh, definitely. And we're a diverse group as well. Like, many people might not know that we have a female member on the committee. We have welcomed women on at Harbour City Bears since its inception. We have always had a number of women from the lesbian community come to our parties and enjoy themselves, and we've got every shape, size of person, from fit boys to chubby guys like me.
That was the Inarcuri reporting from the Bear Tree at Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Fair Day. If you would like to know more about the Bear Essentials, bringing the best of Sydney's local bear culture throughout the Mardi Gras Festival, then head to harbourcitybears.com.au.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Joy is combining forces with SBS Radio again this year during the final weekend of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras to share the passion and pride of Sydney around the nation and the world. Celebrating 40 years over 4 days, Joy's airwaves will be filled with specially curated programming to mark the 40th anniversary, as well as give live commentary of the historic parade as it's happening. The parade team consists of the first out and proud winner of Big Brother Australia, Benjamin Norris, cabaret performer and executive producer of The Informer, Dean Arcuri, and the host of Australia's only lesbian drive radio show, Dano and Mason, as they cross to the street team throughout the parade, the Melbourne comedy duo, The Tag Team. Dean Arcuri spoke to Joy's program director, Chris Tate, at Fair Day about the broadcast and how Joy is helping to share our community's pride and passion with the world.
You're no stranger to Fair Day.
I'm not a stranger to Fair Day, but this is probably the most active I've been. Generally, I come to Fair Day. The last time I came to Fair Day, I was actually recently out of the closet. So I came and I was just very scared of the amount of homosexuals around me, so I left.
So what's it like being here today and representing Joy?
It's really great to be here for Joy's first Fair Day, because as we start to branch out and become a voice for the LGBTI community rather than just the LGBTI community in Melbourne, becoming a voice for the LGBTI community within Australia and within the world. So it's great for us to be in Sydney. Just to put it out there, that Joy's here, we're available. Sure, you can't listen on 94.9, but you can stream us, download the app, get us on podcasts, and we've been just handing out leaflets, letting people know, and everyone's been really, really responsive. It's been amazing.
Now, Joy has also got some amazing broadcasting lined up over the final Mardi Gras weekend, haven't they? You're doing 4 days of broadcasting to celebrate 40 years.
That's exactly right. Joy always does something for Mardi Gras, and it's 25 years of Joy and 40 years of Mardi Gras. So we're like, we need to make this year count. So we're coming down to Sydney. We're kicking off with a live OB from SBS. and Not My Cup of Tea, which is one of our younger shows, are going to co-host a show with some of the 78ers. So basically it's like the two worlds, like these young queer kids growing up who know Mardi Gras only as a celebration, only as a time of fun and drinking and glitter, whereas when it started 40 years ago, these people got arrested. They were activists. It was illegal. So it's amazing for us to be able to look at the contrasting views of young queer kids growing up today and what it was like back then. So that kicks off our broadcast. Then we've got stuff planned throughout the 4 days. We've got a live event at Stonewall. Come down and watch us make live radio live from Stonewall. Then, of course, the parade on Saturday is going to be ginormous, one of our biggest parades yet going across SBS. And then we're wrapping it up with some great content, including a countdown, 40 hits for 40 years. So we're taking one hit per year for the last 40 years, one LGBTI anthem, a banger, and just putting it out there to the world.
One of the exciting things is there's so much content being made in Sydney. It's not just, it may be people, Melbourne voices and people, but you've also got the Joy team that are here in Sydney creating content for Mardi Gras, haven't you?
That's exactly right. So it's really great for us to be able to, because we have teams coming from Sydney, so it's really, and we are based in Melbourne, so it's really great to be able to give them an opportunity to really feel a part of Joy. And some of our Sydney teams have huge followings. They're bringing a lot of interest to Joy. So it's great for us to be able to showcase them in their home territory.
Now, last year during the live broadcast, it was your very first Mardi Gras parade, wasn't it?
It was.
So this year you're going to be doing that all again. Is it fun to be able to experience the parade and work it in this way so that Australia's broader community can experience the parade as well?
It really is, and it's such an honour. So not only do you get amazing views, like we're right there, we're right in the thick of it, but it's just such an honour to be able to take this parade and literally send it to the world. So people who can't be here, people who've moved overseas, people who live in countries where this is not okay to be gay, are able to watch the parade, hear the parade, feel the parade, and Joy is a massive part of bringing it to the world, and it's a real privilege to be able to do that.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing news and current affairs from Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip that you would like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Lara Dickinson, and up next is Outtakes.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.